so it's hard to find, like, I was looking through all kinds of stuff last night. It's hard to find something where it's just going to be like, okay, we're just going to do this tomorrow. It's different if you've got, like, you know, where John is, where you can just, you know, come up with a plan and you're going to do this for many weeks. So I had one that I had done. I had taught a class was back in 2018, another church I was at. And it was about John. It's 45 to 57, and it mainly has to do with Caiaphas. So I'm going to read through this, and then we can discuss it.
Chapter.
I'm sorry. It's John 11, 45 to 51. And to kind of set this up, Lazarus has just been raised from the dead, and the Pharisees have gotten together to discuss what's to be done with Jesus, because now that he's done this in the sight of so many people, I mean, their part of their fear, I think, is that they say that part of their fear, or their fear, what they say their fear is that he's going to get so big that the Romans are going to have to come in and do something about it. But then I think part of their fear too is that, you know, they're going to lose some of their power because this person is, you know, he's famous and taking away some of their glory. So let me go ahead and read this. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things Jesus did. Then the chief priests and Pharisees gathered a council and said, what shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation. And one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it's expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish. Now this he did not say on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also that he would gather in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. Then from that day on, they plotted to put him to death. Therefore, Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there into the country near the wilderness to a city called Ephraim, and there remained with his disciples. And the Passover of the Jews was near, and many from the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover. Many went from the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. Then they sought Jesus, spoke among themselves, as they stood in the temple, what do you think, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a command that if anyone knew where he was, he should report it, that they might seize him. So the question that I had, and I still kind of have, I wonder, did Caiaphas know who Jesus was? Did he understand that he was? Because it says that he prophesied. But I've read, I was reading last night some commentary online, and it said no, that it wasn't so much that he knew that Jesus was the Messiah. It's that he had seen these things, he couldn't comprehend how these things were going to come about. I don't know what my. Anybody else have anything or something they want to share on?
It sounded like he still had an open mind about it, though. I mean, he just didn't say that he wasn't the Messiah.
Yeah.
As far as we can tell. But it's, you know, sort of the height of politics. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see the whole country burn before we let them take away our power.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were concerned it was all about power. And as Jim was saying here, I mean, they're saying the Romans will come and take away both our temple and our nation. So they're scared they're losing power, you know what I'm saying, and prestige, and mm-hmm. their positions. I don't think that is it. How do you pronounce that? Caiaphas. I don't think that he believed that Christ was the Savior. I think he was just trying to throw him under the bus, right? I mean, just say, hey, because he says in here, it's you know nothing else. You know, well, it's just better for one man die for people than our whole nation perish. Yeah. So he wasn't saying sacrifice him for the sins of the world, the sin of man. He was saying, let's say, you know.
Through killing this man, we may be able to unify everybody under us, I think.
Correct, and save our nation, our power, our temple, our authority here, so.
My commentary says Caiaphas became high priest circa AD 18, being appointed by the Roman prefect Valerius Gratus. His father-in-law was Annas, who had previously functioned in that same position from AD 7 to 14, and who exercised a great influence over the office even after his tenure. Caiaphas remained in office until AD 36, when along with Pontius Pilate, he was removed by the Romans. He took a leading part in the trial and condemnation of Jesus. In his court or palace, the chief priests, Sadducees, and Pharisees assembled and plotted to take Jesus by trickery and kill him. And then it says, one man should die for the people. He only meant that Jesus should be executed in order to spare their positions and nation from Roman reprisals. But Caiaphas unwittingly used sacrificial substitutionary language and prophesied the death of Jesus for sinners. Caiaphas did not realize the implications of what he spoke. While he uttered blasphemy against Christ, God parodied his statement into truth. The responsibility for the wicked meaning of his words belonged to Caiaphas, but God's providence directed the choice of words so as to express the heart of God's glorious plan of salvation. He actually was used by God as a prophet because he was high priest, and originally the high priest was the means of God's will being revealed. So I kind of see that. He thought that, you know, through Jesus' death is what he was going to be able to bring these people together with. But God was like, no, it's not because you're killing him. It's because of the older prophecies, you know, of Jesus being a lamb to take away the sins of the world.
Stephen, 7 chapters further in John on 18, when Jesus is arrested, it's 18, 12 to 14. Basically, it's just solidifying what it was kind of read here. It says, then the detachment of soldiers with its commander and Jewish officials arrested Jesus. They bound him and brought him first to Annas, who was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jewish leaders that it would be good if one man died for the people. just reiterates that again. And then it goes on down in 18, talking about the high priest questioning Jesus. And he says in 23, if I said something wrong, Jesus would probably testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me? Then Ananias sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. And Yeah, so he's mentioned several times. I guess I'd forgotten his name.
And I had, you know, to me, if you would have asked me before I looked at this last night, I mean, it's, I read through the Bible pretty much every year, and it's amazing to me how much that I read and just don't process, don't really think about, you know. If you would have asked me, if, you know, before I saw my notes from that class last night, if one of the Pharisees or Sadducees or any of them had predicted Jesus, I would have said no, you know, no way. But, you know, here it is. And then I thought it was Caiaphas the whole time. I thought that he was the only one that Jesus was sent to. And I don't know, maybe it says that in one of the other Gospels, but I didn't think his father-in-law, Annas, you know, had anything to do with it. So, couldn't even remember that there was a person named Annas, so guess I need to do better on my studying.
Well, I didn't either.
You can see, though, I mean, one of the things that we talked about, I don't know if I had talked about it in this class, or one of the things when I was going through my class was that Jesus knew all of this. I mean, it's still amazing to me that you know, he knew that all of this was coming. All of these things that they think that they were doing in secret, you know, he knew about. All of these things, every step to the cross, you know, from probably, I don't know, the day of his birth, he knew what was coming, and yet he still went. He didn't turn to the side. He didn't take, it was at no point where he took the easy way. He couldn't.
Caiaphas, I think we can all agree, was not good, right? Obviously.
I don't think so. I don't think there's any place where it comes out.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. I guess my question to you all, because I guess I'm a little confused here. If you read 51, 52, and 53, I think, which I know we already read, but he said he did not say this on his own. I guess the verse before, he said, "You do not realize it's better for you that one man die for the people than the whole nation perish." I guess that's what they're referring to, that he did not say this on his own. But as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation. When I see the word prophesied, I don't know, I think of, you know, God being involved, you know.
He was.
I think him, what he's prophesying, you know, that Jesus would die not just for the Jewish nation, and he's saying, and not only for that nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. So from that day on, they plotted to take his life. It's confusing to me, I think. It's kind of like God had, I guess, you know, said, "Hey, this man has to die for the Jewish nation, and then for, you know, the children of God." But yet, which, I mean, I knew it had to happen for, because he's the savior of the world. I mean, obviously,
yeah.
But it's just for me, I guess, what he's using for a bad use, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But God obviously intended for saving us. You know,
yeah, I think, you know, in his evilness or his arrogance, whatever, he took it that God was giving him, I think, you know, was giving him an edict.
Right.
Go kill this man, and this is all going to happen. And he didn't realize that's not how God meant it at all.
Right.
And
the results were the same, but his motives were different.
Yes, the motives. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, the motive. Yeah. What his motive was not what God, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was God's plan, but I'm just saying, you know, his motive was different, I guess I'm trying to say.
His motive was
keeping his power, keeping
his
nation intact, keeping, you know.
I think partially too, you know, to be able to sit back and say, you know, here was this guy, and he was leading the people astray, and we killed him, you know, and thinking that, you know, all these things, this revelation that God had given him, it was going to increase their power, and all of these things that God had given him this prophecy of, were going to happen through him and through, you know, the Pharisees. And I guess in a way he was right. You know, they did ultimately get Jesus on the cross and kill him. And ultimately it worked out just like they thought, except that they weren't a part of it. Instead, they're on the, you know, they're on the bad side of history.
You might not have known what he was saying, dude. God could have just been speaking through him. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he get as much message through a donkey, I don't know which way, because he's like,
this is true.
It was probably easier.
This is true.
I think that's one of the things that has always perplexed me, is that the Pharisees, you know, like these were the religious leaders. They were... you know, they were the men of God that through the ages, that, you know, what all it took to be a Pharisee. Like, you had to know, like, these Jewish young men had to memorize the, you know, the first five books of the law, you know, like, they had to be able to recite these. Like, they knew all the prophecies. They knew, you know, they are the ones that should have been able to recognize that Jesus was the Messiah and all this stuff. And, you know, whether they were blinded purposely or whether through their own greed and power, which, you know, hey, we see that in politics today. Some people who know the things don't want to do the things because they want the power and the, you know, power and position. And because that's what he, isn't that what it said in there? It's, Romans will come and would take our place in our nation, our temple in our nation. And, you know, they're the ones that should have been able, like they knew, like they were men of God. They the ones that should know and should have known better and should be able to recognize.
But should have been able to look at all the signs and then, I'm sorry?
There are some that just doubted though. I don't remember if it's in Luke or John, which of the Gospels it's in, but Jesus is talking to the people, speaking to the people and telling them, I am the Messiah. And they're like, no, you're not, you're Joseph's son. Like, you're just some guy that grew up down the road. And then even to the point of wanting to run him off a cliff at that point. So just they had a hard time believing it too. The disciples did too. They thought they believed, but they kept questioning it.
Yeah.
You know, all this was definitely orchestrated. My God, you know, God's hand was in it. Because I, you know, you thought, I was just thinking, and again, we're getting a little bit off subject, but well, we're still kind of on the subject. Pilate, you know, he could have overruled, you know what I'm saying? He was a leader, supposedly, right? He was in a position of authority where he could have said, hey, this man I've interviewed multiple times, I've talked to multiple times, he's done no wrong. He's done nothing wrong. But he, for whatever reason, to look good in front of the Jewish people or what have you, make sure that they don't get into an uproar, a riot, or what have you, he basically pacifies them. And he kept doing all these things, trying to, you know, hey, I don't see anything wrong. And he kept
trying to come up with an easy way to get out.
And he's sending them other people. And it kept coming up. And he's like, okay, I think I finally figured it out. I'm going to take the baddest dude, you know what I'm saying, or whatever, and I'm going to put him right next to Jesus. And I'm going to go, hey,
yeah,
you've got a choice here. we can either crucify this bad dude, right, that's mm-hmm. murdered people, killed people, all this kind of stuff, and we'll release Jesus, or we'll crucify Jesus and we'll release this bad man into population, you know what I'm saying, where he could kill again, type thing. So what do you want me to do? Crucify Jesus, you know what I'm saying, or whatever, and release Barabbas. So, you know, I just, it's just that him as a leader and in a position of authority, whether, but again, God was involved, yeah,
exactly.
Right? God was involved in that, but it's just.
I think in that, if you look at the way that all of the things that had to be, I mean, just think of the hundreds of thousands of things that had to be woven into that fabric for everything. I mean, if the Jews were passive and the Romans, you know, didn't really fear an uprising, you know, I could see, you know, Pilate saying, we're not.
Right.
You know,
we're not gonna do this.
We're not killing the guy.
Right.
What are you gonna do about it? Go ahead, uprise, and we'll wipe you all out. You know?
Right.
So, I mean, everything down to all of the different people, you know, and all the different lives that they lived up to that point, had any you know, part of it not been in line, it wouldn't have worked. And it had to have been that way for, you know, generations, really, to get the world where it was at when Jesus was.
Oh yeah, no, you're right. It had to be the right person, people, and place, right? I mean, this was set in motion, you know, yes. hundreds.
At the beginning of time.
Yeah, beginning of time. Yeah, exactly. I mean, because like you said, you know, Pilate had to be in power, right? Because if it was someone else, they may have not done that. You know, Caiaphas had to be the high priest. You know, all these different. You're right. It's a lot of.
The amazing thing is that Paul's wife told him to release him, and he still didn't.
Yeah.
Oh, his wife did. Yeah.
Don't have nothing to do with that man.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. He said, yeah.
You think he can listen to his wife?
Yeah.
Don't we all do that?
How many times you think you heard, I told you so?
Yeah. Told you not to mess with that guy.
Again, I think it's very funny that the religious leaders, again, the people that should know better, were the ones that wanted him to die. And the political leaders, who were not religious at all, were like, I don't want to, you take him. No, you send him to this. Oh, you know what? We're going to send him over here. Like, yeah, they were all passing around. Like, they all knew something. They had some kind of feeling that was like, I don't want to do this.
Their morals seemed higher, right? Yeah.
Like, I want nothing to do with this.
Did it really, though? Was it really higher, or was it that they just didn't want the infamy that might go with, you know?
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know. Like, maybe they, I don't know.
But yeah, you know, it's something else that gets me about history, you know, there's always been like this animus towards the Jews, towards Israel. And a lot of, you know, Nazism and you know, all that anti-Semitism that's out there today is there. Most of them say because they blame the Jews for killing Christ, you know, and it's like, you don't understand. Number one, it was prophesied. This was going to happen. This was God's will. It was going to happen. He was going to die. It really kind of doesn't matter whether it was the Romans that did it or the Jews. And you know, the Bible portrays the Romans, at least as far as Pilate, as being, you know, I don't know, if you read, there's also, I don't remember where it's at, but if you read like this account, you know, it's like Pilate really doesn't want to have anything to do with killing Jesus. But there's one where it says that Pilate and person who was in charge of the Jews at the time.
Caiaphas?
Huh?
The high priest?
No, not the high priest.
Pilate.
Was there
one of the Herods in there? Hey,
what my brain got. I always ask Siri. Who is it?
It's the person that the Romans placed in charge of the Jews. He went by a king, as a king, but he wasn't really. That day, or it says, you know, from that day forth or something. So you wonder, you know, how much of what Pilate did was, you know, just like Betsy was saying, political. You know, it wasn't that he really cared one way or the other. It was just following the political flow like politicians do. You know, if this is seen as a good thing, how can I, even though I might not have supported it before, how can I make it look like, you know, I've changed? How can I make it look like I'm going along with the, you know, with the crowd, whatever the best thing is for me politically? Anybody else got any insight on that?
No, Herod couldn't do anything about it either. I mean, he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to do a miracle or something like that. And after he saw him and all that, he said, well, there's nothing here. He's no threat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's nothing.
And so he sent him back to Pilate.
Yeah, he kept going. Well, and correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, obviously he was flogged before he was crucified, but wasn't he beaten too, like at one point, even prior to, saying prior to the truth? Because I think Pilate thought, okay, this will appease, you know what I'm saying, or whatever, I'll beat the poop, you know what I'm saying, out of him or whatever, and hopefully that will make him happy. It didn't.
No.
They want him dead. They want him crucified and killed, you know, so. He kept doing all these things, and like you said, sending to Herod. It's not my problem.
Yeah, no problem. We'll send him to Herod.
Yeah. He's just truly he didn't he show it at the one point that he washed his hands, right? And of like, hey, I want it to be known, his blood is not on my hands, but technically it's kind of.
Yeah, he was the guy. He could have been the guy.
He could have been the guy. Yeah, that's.
Especially in a militaristic state. I mean, you know, he was the head guy on the scene.
Put in charge by Caesar, right? I guess.
I think they were afraid that the Romans were going to come down and say, you know, you can't go around crucifying innocent people, and would come down on them.
Yeah.
And then finally somebody came up and said, well, this guy says that if Caesar's not even a king, it's not, because they worship Caesar.
Yes. And
since they were trying to put Jesus ahead of Caesar, then that's...
They were trying to play to the Romans, weren't they?
Yeah.
By saying that. They were trying to play to the Romans by saying, hey, look, you know...
This man's setting himself as a king.
Caesar. Yeah, the Jewish people, they were just saying, hey, he's saying he's the son of God, you know, and of course that ticked them off. That was blasphemy to them. But then they're like, hey, the way we're going to spin this to the Romans, because they don't really believe in God, you know what I'm saying, or what have you. But the way we'll spin it to them is like Jim said, hey, he's saying he's a king above, you know, Caesar, king of kings, you know. Yeah.
But even then, you know, he came before Caesar, or Pontius Pilate, and he's like, are you a king? He said, you know, for this purpose I was born, and my kingdom is not of this world. If it was, you know, legions would come to defend me. And, you know, I don't know how, you know, Pilate really took that in the Bible. It just says that, you know, they came down to the discussion of truth, and Pilate said, you know, what is truth? And he didn't realize that he was staring truth in the face. Jesus is the ultimate truth.
I think they should have done a few good men right there.
Yeah.
You want the truth?
Yeah, exactly. You can't handle it. You're definitely not going to be able to handle the truth.
They're
really
good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they ought to go down and record it.
But it's great. I always say if they sing as loud up front as they sing, yeah, sound in here.
Stage fright.
Which I can understand. Understand the stage fright. Okay. Anybody got anything else?
Yeah. Dear Lord, just thank you for another day of life that you've given us and the opportunity and freedom to come into your house and worship you. Lord, thank you for Steve this morning for your message and just going through John 11, Lord. Lord, be with Brother Tink this morning as he brings a message and just speak through him, Lord, as he brings him through the vessel. Lord, if there's one that doesn't know you as their Savior, we pray they'll make that decision today. Lord, be with the ones we've mentioned this morning, Cassie Armstrong and the twins, and Jan Meekham, Colson, just several others, Lord, that we mentioned this morning for just praises or healing and just or comfort, peace. Just be with them. Maybe some that wasn't mentioned. Be with Sandy as she's sick this morning as well. It's these things we ask in your son's name and sake. Amen. Mm-hmm.